Final Four.
Do you think
you better get us now? You better get us now because it's coming. What's Dan that? Hurley quote. Oh. I love how every coach, like Dion and Dan Hurley, you better get us now. You better get us now. I want to see a clip of a coach saying, "You better get us now," and then they're like coaching JV somewhere.
Well, I think Dion probably said that the first five games of his season because he didn't win another game that season. Dan Hurley, I don't know if you saw the article on him, just the emotions he went through when the flight was grounded. I think that guy's. We were just talking about sleep and well-being, emotion. I think Nate Oates might be able to play a little head games with him this game coming up.
Dan Hurley's a very smart guy in that he uses all of this, me against the world, UConn against the world. They don't want us to win. They don't want us to go back-to-back. Our flight's delayed. Our hotel sucks. It could go one or two ways, right? It could be great and everyone gets on board, or it could be set up for an excuse for disappointment.
Yeah, the narrative that you want your players to absorb is that, hey, these guys, everyone, no one wants us to win, like you're saying, and no one wants us to go back-to-back. But that said, I don't think the NCAA's ploy, like, who do they want to win? An 11 seed, Purdue, Alabama? I mean, it's not like there's a... I compare this... All right, let's go to the Final Four in the women's game. I don't know if you watched that last.
Oh yeah, I did.
Great game.
Both games.
Great game. Second game was obviously Caden Clark, Paige Beckers. That's probably going to be the best matchup, men's or women's, that we're going to see in terms of personnel. Unless, yeah, I would say it is the biggest. Paige Beckers versus Caitlin Clark in terms of names known players, both All Americans. But that game last night, where the screen, the offensive foul screen, or offensive foul, I guess, on UConn. You had to sit there and go, okay, they want Caitlin Clark in the title game.
Destiny.
Right? They kind of want... Here, I don't think ESPN looks at any of these teams. Zach Edey, maybe. But either of these teams says one has to be in over the other. I don't think there's some conspiracy theory against UConn, right?
I think they just got stuck with bad luck in the NCAA, and we know who the NCAA is and what they're about. It's not about good decisions, and it's for the people who can't get into Washington State. They go work at the NCAA commission.
Blame Boeing, blame the weather. That's happened a lot lately. Glendale, Arizona. There's no frost on the host of the Final Four. Nope. Zach Edey takes on, and that's good. Is it going to be a good matchup? Burns,
great matchup. Let me give the intro because Everyone wants us to win. Big Ben and Kay win, and you can win by watching us every week on NoFilter.net, Caffeine TV, and YouTube. If you're new to the show, welcome. Longtime listener, welcome back. Each week we broadcast live, and today, Saturday morning, we got a good one. We're going to talk Final Four. We're going to talk National Championship because we all know who's going to be in the National Champion and who's going to win. But more on that in a little bit. And we're going to talk a little Major League Baseball. I'm Kay Wynn. He's Big Ben. And he will not be guarding Zach Edey later today.
I will not. I will leave that to Burns. I think that's not the... It is the matchup to watch in that game. It is the matchup to watch. But Zach Edey, two-time now unanimous player of the year? I'd be interested to see. Where's our intern? It's been a while since our intern's been around.
He's on spring break right now. He's in Cabo.
I'd like to understand when the last time we saw, and I don't think there's been a two-time player of the year, AP player of the year, I believe it was, that has been, Zach Edey's run under the spotlight for the most part. I mean, he's not talked about all that much. And I think he's got him and the Purdue Boilermakers, again, going out in the first round last year. Everyone's, I think probably, and I always look at the brackets, right? You look at the brackets and the groups you're at, probably 10% had Purdue.
Yeah,
just didn't believe anymore. I don't think many people believed in Painter as a coach playing in big games, but here they are. And I think they are ecstatic they get an 11 seed at NC State. It's not a 1v1 matchup. They're not playing a 2 seed, 3 seed, 11 seed, the Cinderella. And I think, I love your take on this, but I think NC State's run out of gas or will run out of gas in this game.
Before I give you my take, I want to talk about NC State, the cardiac kids. What I love about them, You might not have been born yet. I was just in diapers. The whole Jim Valvano run, I think it was in the 80s. They were a Cinderella story. They went all the way and they won it. Like, this has the makings of the same Cinderella story. NC State lost their four straight games to close out the season. Then they went on to win 9 straight winner-go-home games. If they lost at any point in the AC tournament, they would have gone home. In the NCAA tournament, obviously, they would have gone home. And now they're in the Final Four, the biggest stage. And why are they playing better? They had 8 transfers. It took a little time to gel, and they're gelling through DJ Byrne. He's got to be the face of the Final Four, the darling of the Final Four. Can he put them on his back like he did against Duke? They're going to get him in the high post, dribble handoff, actions. You know it's coming. But here's the difference. I don't think Purdue has to double him because I think Edie is strong enough to withstand some of that physicality, and the verticality of Edie is going to make it tough. So the key to the game is going to be the big man and which big man gets in foul trouble. Because if Edie's off the floor, DJ's going to do what he wants. If you double team him, he's going to kick it out because he can pass that thing. And if not, he might go to the NFL and be a left tackle.
No, he's already said, Burns has said no thanks to the NFL. And who knows, maybe that changes a little bit if you see some tight end coaches as scouts at this game. Burns, you likened him to Zach Randolph.
That was
when we talked to him.
That was Grand Ike, but I could get down with that too. A bigger version of Zach. Great footwork, great balance, lefty. If he gets you in the post, it's over.
Yep. So it's I see it as one of those. I don't know. There used to be Hansborough. There's a host, but that first matchup, that first low post, whatever happens, happens, right? But if it's a block by Edie, that's in your psyche, right? Well, I can't go up against him. I gotta find another way to score. If Edie shuts you down initially, now if you have get a positive momentum up and one, whatever, then you're playing on that momentum too. It'll be interesting. Start the game. Does NC State go to Burns right away? Test Edie, try to get him in foul trouble. I think that's the only situation where NC State has a chance. But I would see Edie as, maybe I'm wrong, as smart enough. I mean, as educated enough, as aware enough that that's going to try to play out. Just go straight up and don't press the issue. I mean, you've got, 4 or 5 inches on Burns? Maybe 6?
Yeah. I think
maybe
it's
7'4".
5, 6 inches.
No need to even jump at this point. Right? Just
verticality.
Just straight up, right? That's what they teach you. Don't press forward, straight up. If Edie can do that, stay up for foul trouble, I don't see the Purdue Boilermakers losing this game.
Do not.
If Zach Edie, let's just say this, Zach Edie plays more than 30 minutes, 28 minutes, they win the game.
He played like 39, 38 last game.
Exactly.
Everything I read and see says Purdue's going to win, but the Cinderella story isn't over. I'm going NC State. They're going to get out. They're going to guard the three. They limited the three-pointer against Marquette. Purdue is the best three-point shooting team in the nation. They struggled last game. They got by Tennessee. They're going to struggle from three-point land tonight. Edie's going to get in foul trouble, and DJ Burns in the 11-seed Wolfcat. Wolfpack are going to the national championship game. I'm going Wolfpack here. We can agree to disagree. I'm going NC State. I'm going on a gut.
Okay. DJ Burns is 6'9". Zach Edey 7'4". That's 7 inches. That's a lot.
But here's my counter to that. DJ can hit a mid-range jump shot. So Zach Edey's got to come out to honor that. Will that open up the basket for cuts? Because Burns is good in that high post. Shoot it, back down, or cut. I think that's going to be the key to the game. He can operate on the left and the right. He can get you with the left hook. He can get you with a teardrop. And he can bruise you.
Go put money on NC State right now.
I will. What's the line?
Money line. It's minus 11 and a half. I think it's... So I looked at this.
Call up Wheezy. I'll take it. I want action.
I don't know if I don't know how long spreads have been out. Probably, I don't know how long they've been providing them at some point. Probably 20 years, maybe.
Yeah.
15, somewhere in there. The spread for the Purdue NC State game, I believe, is 10.5. The spread for the UConn Alabama game, excuse me, 9.5 Purdue. It just went down a bit. More people are believing in the Wolfpack. K-1.
I'm out. I had it at 11. I'm out.
Connecticut's 11. 11
looks good. 9. I don't know.
These are big spreads for Final Four game.
Huge spreads for Final Four.
Huge. So either. And let's go to the next game if we could.
Let's
if we
go.
Could, if we could. I'll take, I got Purdue, you got NC State. Nate Oates just loves watching people fire up threes.
Yeah.
And actually has no belief in the mid-range games. He's already adopted the NBA mentality, the NBA thought process, the NBA strategy in the NCAA. And he's going to stick by it. Just I think the team shoots collectively about 37% from three. And that's what I love. Steadfast in your theory. I'm going to put up threes. And obviously they're going to have to go in to beat UConn. But what I do like is the momentum Alabama does have. They've proven they can beat good teams. I think Grant Nelson is probably one of the most intriguing, fun players to watch in the tournament. Just because you look at him and he looks like he should be bartending at your college drop-in bar. But yet he's out there with his stash playing his heart out. I mean, he's got some guts. I'm going to probably... Here, I'm not going to give you my pick. I'm going to pass on watching much of the Purdue NC State game, just so I can facilitate opportunities to sit more time and watch this UConn Alabama game. Because I think if there's a team in the tournament that matches up well against UConn, just in the framework of how they play, it is Alabama. I don't know. I'll let you know who wins after I hear who you pick.
Fair enough. Alabama is a football school. UConn is a basketball school, and we will see that today. Take the over. I got UConn in the points. I got UConn at halftime. I got UConn in the first of 10. I got UConn winning this whole damn thing. I do tip my hat to what Nate Oates has done with Alabama. They're like the Houston Rockets of old college basketball. Instead of James Harden, they got Mark Spears running point. It's three-point bucket or layup. There's no in-between. There's nothing else. They can get hot. They can go nuclear like we saw last game. They shoot a lot. They hit a lot of threes. They are talented, but they are flawed. And UConn is the number one offense in the country and a top five defense. And Stephen Castle, a 6'6 lottery pick, Bo Bowie, Northwestern, locked him up. Terrence Shannon Jr., Illinois, locked him up. They both had 8 points. One had 9 points. Mark Sears is about to get locked up. Sears is what, 5'10"? Castle's 6'6", athletic wing. He's going to limit Sears. And UConn just has too much firepower. This is going to be a game to take the over. That's the other bet you should put. I've got UConn.
All right. I like how this is going to differ because I'm going to take Bama and Nate Oates. Wow. I think this, Nate has.
To win it, or are you taking the points? Let's clarify.
To win it. I'll take the money. I'll take the points. No, a money line bet I would place on Alabama today. And here's the reason. One, you're going to get really good return on your money should they win. But also, Nate Oates, I think you look at Hurley and Nate Oates, they are polar opposites. Nate Oates knows what he's going to do. And here's what I think. When you have a team with a lot of really good players, we've seen this in the NBA. There's too many personalities, too many cooks in the kitchen. When things start going wrong for your team, who do you turn to? You know, like who's going to be the person to pull you out? UConn has a lot of options, but hey, if you're down early, you can't really go on low post and probably your best offensive threat. Alabama, they're just going to be playing out with house money. No one expects them to win. Grant Nelson from Devil's Lake, North Dakota, with that stash. And Mr. Sears, the two guys, like you look back at past NCAA tournaments, there's always one or two guys from the winning team that you can call out. The rest you really can't make out, right? So I think it's Mr. Sears and Mr. Nelson, Batman and Robin. I like that analogy, actually. Sears being Batman. Yeah. I think those two guys somehow take down UConn.
Okay, somehow, so let's fast forward to Monday night. Big Ben outshines K-Win. It's Bama versus Purdue. Who's winning the natty Monday night?
I think Purdue just overcomes like this. Like, I think Painter, that he went back. We're talking about this before. Is like Danny Hurley's using this stuff as motivation, right? I think Painter, the minute they lost that game last year, knew that Edie was going to come back. Said, all right, we're going to run this back and we're going to win it. There's no, like, there's no other alternative here, guys. Like, you felt what it feels like to lose, to probably be in a good position to get to a Final Four and not even sniff it. Like, let's use that as motivation. I think we've seen that throughout the tournament. Every time we thought Purdue may stall, they've had blowouts, double-digit wins. I think as unsexy as it is, Purdue ends up beating Alabama in the national title.
It's an easy way to hold on to your team's attention all year. You know, it's a long season, it's a marathon, but all you have to do is bring up that loss last year and their focus. It would be redemption if Purdue wins. If Purdue gets there and they do play UConn, which is highly likely and highly possible, Klingon versus Edie would be a great matchup in the Final Four. It's the two bigs.
And I'll say this, the women's game is going to outdraw the final. Is it going to outdraw the men's final? Maybe, no, I wouldn't say twofold, but
South Carolina is undefeated, and then you're going against Caitlin Clark.
Exactly. What would you want to watch?
Purdue? I'd rather watch the women's basketball game.
Thank you.
And it's teamwork. It's better passing. There's actually better star power, too, actually. Yeah. You've got Cordoza on South Carolina. Mm-hmm. She's going to be a top five pick. Caitlin Clark's going to be the number one pick. No one in the men's Final Four is going to be a number one or number five pick in the upcoming NBA draft. Women's college basketball has surpassed men's basketball.
Now, Clark leaves, we might be singing a different story next year.
No, we got Paige Buckets. Paige is ready.
I could see Paige, but there's got to be those ancillary players that she's going to go up against. Like, you know, when we have Malarkey and LSU and Van Liff is coming back. She's transferring. I do like the ladies' game where it is in collegiate aspects more so than the men's game. And you're right. I don't like Edie's a two-time AP Player of the Year. Is he a top 10 pick?
No.
Probably not, right? And so I think, I don't know, it'll just be interesting to see. I think also if it is at UConn-Purdue, you think about the teams, they're good in respects to men's college basketball, but they're not intriguing. You know, Edie's so far, but
I'll counter that. I think it is intriguing because Purdue, it's redemption. UConn, it's back-to-back. We haven't seen that since 06, 07.
Storylines are intriguing.
The storyline's intriguing. I don't think the game's going to be intriguing.
No, exactly.
UConn's going to roll.
Okay, so you got UConn. I'll take Purdue. Okay. All right, deal. And then in the women's, you want to touch on the women's? I can't wait to see Dawn Staley.
I know.
Those two coaches.
I thought UConn was going to get Iowa. I was watching that game, and the way they guarded Caitlin Clark and basically said, you're not going to get the ball. We're going to limit you. They established the blueprint to beating Iowa. I don't know enough about South Carolina's guards or defensive ability. But I do think South Carolina has more depth. I'm going to go Dawn Staley in a close one.
Yeah, I think I think the formula is what we saw there, face guarding Caitlin, keeping her on the perimeter. The thing that I saw last night down the stretch is Iowa had some people women not named Caitlin Clark hit some big shots, which is right. That's important down the stretch. I haven't seen South Carolina enough. Dawn Staley is she's fiery. And I'm got to imagine they it's as soon as the seeding came out, everything came out. As soon as Don saw Iowa coming through, I mean, you got to imagine that's who they're playing for.
Or the women's practicing for. NCAA basketball commissioner committee, they couldn't have drawn this up even better. An undefeated team against arguably, I'm not going to say she's the greatest college women's basketball of all time, because there's been some great ones like Candace Parker, Kelsey Plum. You got Cheryl Miller, of course. But you could argue Caitlin Clark is a top five GOAT in women's basketball. She gets to the final game against an undefeated South Carolina team. Couldn't draw it up anymore.
Last collegiate game. She's already announced that she's going pro. There's no speculation there. I'm more intrigued and excited, obviously, to watch that game than I am men's, regardless of who's playing. That said, Final Four, Saturday in Glendale. I'm trying to think what Glendale, do you think they start tailgating out there around probably about now?
Maybe yeah, probably. They're probably at like Maya Day Club and American Junkie right now.
Yeah.
Working maybe their way over to Glendale.
The rooftop pool at the W is kind of nice.
Yeah.
$300 to get in. My question to you is, you're standing outside. You have $300. Do you have someone $300 to go watch a game?
Yeah.
Two games?
I would.
It's not bad.
Not bad at all.
150 for
Final Four's bucket list.
Have you been to one?
Yeah.
I haven't.
1999. That was when UConn won. Rip Hamilton. They beat Duke. Trajan Langdon, Elton Brand, William Avery.
The thing, modern day, and maybe it's just generational. You can remember all those players. Yeah. Like I could name the starting five for Arizona when they won it, and that was what, 1994?
Yeah, 96.
96, somewhere in there, I can name all five. UConn can win the title, and I wouldn't be able to tell you any of the five.
Tristan Newton. Cam Spencer, Stephen Castle, Alex Caravan, Donovan Klingland.
Fast forward 20 years. You going to remember those names?
I'm not going to remember your name in 20 years.
All right, let's get on to Major League Baseball.
All right, here's what I got. I'm coming out hot. Who's going to finish with a worse record? The Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim or the New York Mets? Who's going to be?
Los Angeles?
The Angels versus the Mets. Who's going to have a worse record this year?
Angels or Mets?
And don't fall for the trap, because the Angels just played the Marlins. Who could be worse than the Oakland A's? And so the Angels look like they have a good record. But I want to go division by division and see if you agree with me. The AL West, they've got the Rangers, Astros, and Mariners. Let's just say they're going to be somewhere in the top three. A's are going to be the worst. Angels are going to be fourth. You go NL East, you've got the Phillies who are good. We've got the Braves who are outstanding. You've got the Nationals, you've got the Mets, and you've got the Marlins. So my theory is the third best team in the NL East is the Nationals. The third best team in the AL West is probably the Mariners. So the Mets are going to be playing against these teams early in the year and later in the year, and they will have an awful record, but it will be slightly better than the Angels, and we need to free Mike Trout. Here's my hot take, Big Ben. Mike Trout is the Dame Lillard of Major League Baseball. Ooh. We need to get him out of Anaheim, get him to a winner.
That is a phenomenal comp. And you know what? I think that, I don't know if you saw this. This is a headline I read. Mike Trout now pursuing 20 stolen bases this year. As if everything else is out the window. We don't care about wins. Mike, go out and get your 20 bases stolen, right? Like that's like how it was for Dame in Portland. Like, hey, Dame, you want to win a scoring title? Go for it. Like, we won't get in your way. To your point. And then here's the other argument I make. Who's better? Who's going to win more games? The Mets Listen, if I'm a Mets player, I don't want to hear the New York media up my rear 100% of the time, right? Maybe they'll be distracted by the fact that the Yankees are probably going to be pretty good this year. But Anaheim Angels, who is there a beat reporter that covers the Anaheim Angels? For what?
Yeah, I'm on our show.
Orange County.
We did. He had nothing else to do.
Orange County Angels aren't winning. I think the bigger, at least, like, I hate for everyone comes out and tries to show stats of the first eight games and think that's an accurate predictor of how the season's going to go. Maybe, maybe not. People love to do it. But I think what I've seen across the entire league is that there's going to be very good teams in the division. There's going to be very bad teams in the division. And it's almost within every, yeah, within every division, you got your pretty poor teams. And I don't, but there's, I mean, the Braves and Dodgers.
Yep.
And your Yankees, and probably we're talking, Stros are down a little bit. I think they'll be back. Yankees, Rangers, like, have become, you know, your tent poles in terms of what good looks like across each division.
That's the cream of the crop.
It is. And, you know, God, the AL East is just tough. I feel bad for the Blue Jays, to be honest. Like, they're a good team, good talent. Like, put them in any other, I mean, put them anywhere else, and they're probably a solid playoff team. They just have to, the Red Sox are pretty good.
Don't count out my Orioles.
I know.
Another year. They got Corbin Burns. Yeah. They got Grayson Rodriguez. Jackson Holliday is going to come up at some point. The number one ranked minor league baseball prospect will be on the Orioles this year. But I think you're right. The front runners this year, the Braves, the Dodgers, the Yankees, the lineups, the offense, the defense. It's a big market sport. At least in the regular season, those teams have to be the favorite. But every once in a while, there's a team like the Arizona Diamondbacks that sneak in.
The interesting part is just how the Padres' idea of buying a team just did not work. No. And I want to float this past you. We all know about the Yankee way. No facial hair, high and tight for the most part. Kind of just, you know, he start looking like a Lego man down there. But then you look at, like, the Padres. Probably the antithesis of the Yankees. Kind of do what you want to do, flash flare, live up this kind of San Diego. Do you think Juan Soto is benefiting predominantly from that kind of structure, if you would, of the Yankees? Or is it the Padres just maybe proverbially allowed for a little too much leniency?
I like where you're going with this. I think Soto is benefiting from multiple things. Number one, he's in a lineup with Aaron Judge, Mike Stanton, Anthony Rizzo. Number two, he's got a short porch and right, and it's a lot easier to get behind a baseball and hit it out. Left-handed hitters in Yankee Stadium, your boy Cano, Giambi, Brett Gardner was even hitting home run swisher. He's benefiting from that short porch and right. And number three, and I think the most important part of it, is the Yankees are all about baseball and winning this year, and sacrifice, where the Padres don't really have that culture in my mind. I'm obviously on the outside looking in, but San Diego is just more laissez-faire in terms of the environment, the city, the games. Woohoo, we got to the playoffs. The Yankees, you don't win the World Series, the season's a failure. And I think he's thriving in the intensity of that, and the most important reason, I almost forgot, he's in a contract year. He's got to put up numbers.
Very fair. I think it's, let's talk about this kind of psychology of a player on a team with whatever track record, right? You come in, like you talked about with the Yankees, you don't win a World Series, utter and catastrophic failure. I want to bring it to the Mariners. Mr. DePoto came out and said, hey, if we win 54% of our games, we're in a pretty good position, right? Like, you're going to get to the playoffs probably 2 out of 3 years in the season, or 2 out of 3 years. I think these organizations carry clout it starts with like a World Series, right? After your World Series, you don't generally fall off so hard just because you have that confidence. You have guys there that have been there now. They know what it feels like. They know what it takes in the way of training, off-season, regimen, focus, whatever have you. So it kind of lives, embodies itself within the franchise for a while. That's what, I don't see the Diamondbacks falling off all that much in a similar case. Whereas maybe if they lose in the first round last year, they might not be playing as well. Or you see where I'm going? And I'm bringing this to the Mariners where it's like every year it's apathetic. It's like, you know, the expectation isn't that, you know.
Hey. Is the bar too low or is the expectation just right?
You're the only franchise never to sniff a World Series. Only franchise in Major League Baseball never to sniff a World Series. So how much is that playing in your head? We're not expected to get to a World Series. We've never been there before. We don't know what it looks like. We don't know how to do it. Right? Whereas, again, you look at teams like the Rangers. Let's take the Rangers. They were brutal a few years back, but then you get a few guys, you end up winning, you win a World Series, you know, all of a sudden that's built within your culture.
I think a lot has to do with health and luck, and the Rangers built a unbelievable hitting juggernaut, and they stayed healthy, they caught fire, and they won it all. The Mariners, for them to win in that ballpark, it has to be pitching and defense. And go way, way back, Freddy Garcia, Joel Piniero, Jamie Moyer, like they had the pitching, they had the defense, they just didn't get the breaks. And then along the way, a lot of their players just got hurt. A lot of their pitchers didn't pan out. And I think they've got the core right now with their three pitchers, but do they have the team around it? Hopefully one day soon, but they have to have the pitching. That's the key to the Mariners' success at Safeco. Or would AT&T or whatever.
No, it's T-Mobile. It is heavy. Like, seagulls can't even fly right now. So the ball's not obviously getting out of the ballpark all that fast. And it's one of these things, again, with that psyche, where you stay off, you're like, oh, geez. You know, you hit one that should be out, warning track. How does that play in your psyche, right? And so I think the Mariners have that going. It's regional. It's me, you know, get off my lawn type thing. But I think what I'd also like to think of is that you talked about pitching. I think bats get you to the playoffs. Pitching gets you. Well, Texas might have, but it was a cherry on top. Texas,
you called it. It was the year of the bats last year.
It was the year of the bats. But this whole idea that, you know, we're going to play small ball, put the ball in play, and you don't have a guy that can hit one out of the ballpark, like, that doesn't scare anyone. You know, no one's pitching around anyone to get to anyone. I digress. You can tell I still have tickets, although I think
Madden's... Hey, look at the bright side. They're not. It's going to be as bad as the A's or the Angels. The Astros aren't as good, so I think the Mariners can get a wild card.
We could. We could very much. Thanks for that dose of optimism. But I was going to say the one thing we do have going for us is that the A's are in a division.
And the Angels. Those are two awful teams.
Yeah. You're Giants.
Yeah.
All right, what are we doing?
We're going to be okay. You got Blake Snell coming back on Monday. Got Kyle Harrison. Got Logan Webb. Got Jordan Hicks. Very strong pitching staff. Offensively, Conforto's hitting. You've got Kuz doing well. Chapman, I'm a little worried about their offense, but I think they have enough to stay competitive and in the wild card. I think the expectations are just in line with the Mariners. Let's get to the playoffs. It's Bo Mel's team. Kapler's out. Get that ego. Get those analytics out. Get Bo Mel in there. Wild card. I think they can get a wild card. The Dodgers are just so good.
Jeez.
And the Diamondbacks are good too. And the Padres can take two out of three in any series because they have the bats and they have some arms. It's a really tough division.
That is a tough division. You're exactly right. All right. Well, I'm not so optimistic on the Mariners. For some reason, I just can't see it. You know how sometimes you can see it? You're like, okay, I can see this playing out. Can't see it.
Let's talk about Bev, my mom. She's so optimistic about the Warriors. She lives and dies with every game. My brother and I tell her, like, they're fighting to play Denver. like it's over. Even if they get in, it's over. And I don't even know if they can get in. So sometimes you just have to be...
Just be realistic.
Realistic just, about just your team's
go,
chances.
Go to the game for the hot dog and the good pizza. Like, exactly. You know, like, okay, I'm here to go to the very top, sit in line for an hour, get the pizza, come down, consume it, and go home. Whatever happens on top of that, I'm okay.
Yeah, but you got to be a realist. Like, I know we have our teams, and we get behind our teams, but some teams aren't good enough to win a championship, a World Series, a Super Bowl, and you just have to enjoy the opportunity that they're in the playoffs.
You're right. Thank you, sir.
Welcome. You want to take us out of here?
Little baseball therapy session. Yeah, at Big K Win and Big Ben, I think we're coming potentially every Thursday. We'll get him back in that vein right here on No Filter Network. You can also find us wherever you get your podcasts at K Win, at Big Ben K Win, and TikTok. Threads, X, yeah. Where else can you see us? Caffeine TV, YouTube. I'm going on YouTube, Mike. We keep coming up.
Yeah.
Getting pointed out. I love it.
Off and to the right. You better get us now because we're coming.
Download, subscribe. Let's go Crimson Tide.
Boom.
Boom.